While you are busy enjoying your lunch, while you are busy having some times from 1300 hours, take time and listen to OTR News Bulletin.
On the radio news analysis, we go beyond the headlines. We don't just tell you what's happening. We ask why it's happening, how it affects ordinary Namibians, and what it means for the country's future. We examine the structures behind news, connect policy to people's lived realities, and bring in expert voices to make sense of where Namibia is heading.
You want to get into touch with global governance, global diplomacy, economic relations, trade, statistics, human and infrastructure development, and you want to see how policy planning and policy implementation is connected in Namibia. Make time and listen to OTR from 1300 hours to 1430 with Happy Juju.
Eagle FM, the eye.
A very good afternoon, Namibia, and welcome to On the Radar right here on Eagle FM. I am your host, Ndafa Happy Juju, keeping you company up until 14:30. Now, of course, it's Friday, the 27th of February, 2026, and just a day away from the final day of the month. Now, for many Namibians, that means payday preparations, wrapping up monthly targets, settling accounts, and gearing up for a new month starting tomorrow. Now, whether you're heading out to do your banking, managing household expenses, preparing stock for your business, or simply taking a well-deserved breather after a long month, we're glad to have you as you have chosen to spend your afternoon with us right here on the Radar. Now, right here on the Radar News Analysis, we go beyond the headlines. We don't just tell you what's happening. We unpack why it matters, how it impacts everyday Namibians, and what it signals for our economy, our communities, and our future, from policy decisions and economic shifts to social issues and local success stories. We connect the dots so you can see the bigger picture. Now, as Namibia comes to a close, it's also, pardon me, Namibia, forgive me for that. Now, as February comes to a close, it's also a time of reflection. Now, the first 2 months of 2026 have already brought important conversations to the surface. That is, from business growth and entrepreneurship to governance, youth empowerment, and development priorities. And today, we'll continue tracking the stories shaping Namibia right now. Remember, your voice matters. Share your thoughts with us on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, WhatsApp, or through the Eagle Media website and app. Now, your perspective helps drive the conversation. From the busy streets of Windhoek to the coastal breeze of Walvis Bay, from the northern towns of Oshakati and Ongwediver to the farming communities of Mariental and Grootfontein, wherever you are tuned in from this afternoon, thank you for being part of the Eagle FM family. Now, this right here is On the Radar, Namibia's stories unpacked and connected to the people who live them. Now, let's get started. The Business and Intellectual Property Authority, also known as a BIPR, recorded a significant growth in new business registrations during the 2024-2025 financial year, registering more than 13,000 new entities and bringing the total number of registered businesses in Namibia to 242,473. Now, BIPR Chief Executive Officer Aina Kaundu revealed the figures while outlining the authority's performance and compliance milestones over the past financial year. She said the increase in registrations reflects continued entrepreneurial activity and improved efficiency in the business registration process. Kaundu also reported notable progress in beneficiary ownership, that is BO compliance, which rose from 33% to 45% during the reporting period. Beneficial ownership compliance requires companies to disclose individuals who ultimately own or control a business, a key measure aimed at enhancing transparency and combating financial crimes such as money laundering and terrorism financing. She attributed part of this progress to Namibia's strengthened regulatory framework, which contributed to the country addressing all 13 strategic deficiencies previously identified by the Financial Action Task Force, or the FATF. FATF. Now, the FATF is the global watchdog that sets international standards to prevent money laundering, terrorist financing, and other related threats to the integrity of the international financial system. Now, earlier this month, we also got in touch with the head of the Financial Intelligence Center to speak about Mr. Brian Aceb, to speak about how they've met the 13 strategic deficiencies that were laid out for Namibia by the Financial Action Task Force. Now, according to Kaundu, BIPA's reforms have also improved the ease of doing business in Namibia. Central to those reforms is the establishment of the one-stop shop center at BIPA's headquarters in Windhoek. Now, the center allows entrepreneurs to register companies, obtain necessary documentation, and access related regulatory services under one roof, significantly reducing processing times and administrative bottlenecks. Now, in addition to overall growth, BIPA reported a 6% increase in youth-owned businesses during the 2024-2025 financial year, and the authority acknowledged that this rise coincides with the establishment of the Youth Entrepreneurship Development Fund in 2025, which aims to provide financial and technical support to young entrepreneurs seeking to start and expand businesses. Now, BIPA is also a public enterprise that is mandated to register or to administer the registration of businesses and intellectual property rights in Namibia, and its functions include the registration of companies, close corporations, defensive names, and intellectual property such as trademarks, patents, and designs. The authority also plays a central role in maintaining corporate governance standards and ensuring compliance with national and international regulatory requirements. Kaundu reaffirmed BIPA's commitment to enhancing digital systems, to strengthening compliance mechanisms, and promoting inclusive economic participation as part of broader efforts to stimulate private sector growth and support Namibia's economic development objectives. Now, of course, on this particular conversation topic, we're going to get into a conversation with somebody who actually deals with registering of businesses with BIPA. Let's get an understanding from her on what it actually means, what those figures actually translate to in terms of where Namibia is heading for business owners. But let's pause here, take a trip to the marketplace. Don't go anywhere. We'll get a hold of her just in a while.
Lipura nenge no wapubwa eva tere ulikoni nondutu to ingida ashike kapeno nwe kutite opoye ekukulile oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuala onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu kwa ndado inawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijabu ili nawa ninge Pada Fanona, Monica, Co, Eagle FM, Honora Tatime, Bali Heali, Nola Natu, Heali Bali, No Heali, Ileko, Berewa, Mura Hetatu, Natu, Bali, O Hetatu, Batatu, Oma Felane, Eagle FM, The Eye.
Welcome back, and now we get into discussion with Sharon Haukuria. Am I saying that right, Sharon? Haukuria.
Excuse me?
Sharon, okay. Now we get into a discussion with Sharon Haukuria, who is the Managing Director of Haukuria Consultancies. Good afternoon, Sharon, and welcome to On The Read News Analysis.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. It's a pleasure to have you.
Yes.
Now, of course, BIPA has announced for its 2024-2025 financial year that over 13,000 new businesses have been registered. Sharon, just what does this mean for businesses? And since you're somebody who deals with businesses, I bet on a regular basis in terms of registering for businesses, what does this mean for Namibians? Seems like a lot of Namibians are also trying to get their businesses registered.
Yes, a lot of Namibians are really trying to get their business registers, which is very good because now they qualify for a lot of grants that are always out there, and it makes their business legal to operate.
Give us just some reasons why it's necessary to register a business. Having dealt with companies that try to register their businesses with the Business Intellectual Property Authority, do you think it's still something that most businesses struggle with? Is the setup business friendly, or there still needs to be some sort of improvement in that regard?
Okay, the setup is really business friendly, but most people don't really understand the procedure. They don't know what documents to fill in, how to go about what is required for them. And also when it comes to keeping updated with their company, what they need to submit monthly, that's where the confusion comes. If maybe BIPA can always give out awarenesses, yes, then people will understand better of what is expected of them when they have registered a business.
I appreciate that particular part that you mentioned, BIPA, if they could give awareness. I'm not so sure if I've ever come across awareness in terms of how to fill up your CM23 and all those names. I'm not so sure. And you know, a lot of business people, some of them are not really familiar with this type of things. And even if one can be a master's holder or something, it's not really their area. You know, and I guess that is why consultancies such as yours actually come in. Now,
yeah, that's where we fall in, because you really get a lot of people that get sent back several times just because they lack one specific requirement, or they filled in a line wrong. That just those small things.
And I think that on its own then speaks that I don't think the process is actually business friendly. You know, I can't really concur with you in that aspect to say the process is business friendly. One thing is that it cannot be filled in manually. It has to be filled in. Of course, someone has to type it. But then again, it's quite.
No, it can also be filled in manually.
Is that so?
Yeah.
Okay.
What I feel like people should just, BIPA employees should just give more awareness.
Yeah.
On and campaigns on like, this is how you should fill in, this is what is required. And then people will have a better understanding, because people will come to us and be like, no, I want to register a business, but they don't even understand what type of business they want to register. Because you get a client that will say, okay, I want to register a cash loan and a construction together. And that's now one of the requirements of BIPA. You can't do that. A cash loan has to be a loan. And then like a construction company has to be a loan. And these are the small things that the public is not aware of.
I agree.
Yes.
Now, in terms of when you have been registering businesses, just with this news that about 13,000 new entities have registered with BIPA, what do you think that actually says about business-minded people right here in Namibia? What do you think that actually means? You did speak earlier about some of the benefits that they can access when they are registered, but what does it mean for you?
It means more money for us consulting company, yes.
Yeah.
But also, it also shows that a lot of Namibians are now thinking of starting on making money by themselves and not just depending on their salaries and so forth.
Yeah.
Yeah, because really a lot of people are now going into the direction of just having their own companies, registering for tenders, and it also shows that there is a lot of opportunities out there. The government is putting out opportunities for Namibian business people and the youth also at large to register business, because there's a lot of things that they qualify for. Yes.
Yeah. You know, especially for one can have a really good idea, yet because they are not registered, their business is not registered. Even a tailor, you know, somebody who is very good at tailoring, but then when for instance, hypothetically speaking, perhaps the Prime Minister's office is handing out donations or wants to donate to certain, wants to donate maybe certain uniforms, but they want them to be locally made. Then that, that tailor is actually closed out of that opportunity because why? Their
just
business
because
is not.
Are not
yes.
Yeah. And it's very, very important to register your business, even if you are not operating yet. If you have an idea, just have it registered, because sometimes the requirement is like, no, this business has to be active for like 2 years.
Okay.
Even though you are not doing anything monthly, mm-hmm. as long as you have an idea, you register your business, and when you have the funds, then you start operating.
Now, the negative aspect about that, Sharon, in my opinion, is that sometimes when you, it's something that I've been thinking about it, but correct me where I'm wrong. Let's say, for instance, when you register a business and you're not getting an income yourself from the business, and you're not getting an income perhaps outside that, then funds or I don't know what's the right terminology. You will help me with that. Then the funds at BPR increase, you know, like sort of like what you owe them on a monthly basis or on a yearly basis, pardon me. And then only to come and check 3 years afterwards, you owe BPR about $2,000 or so, which you cannot pay. What then would you say should be the solution to that? To those who, I want to register my business, I'm not really active now, or perhaps I'm not getting much out of it now. Should I still register it, and then perhaps I'll find myself in debt owing BPR so much money?
Okay, the thing is with BPR, you don't pay a lot. Yearly, it's just $120 that's required of you.
Okay.
So even if you really don't make such a profit, that's really a small amount. And that's just required yearly. The problem comes where if you forget your
yearly
when you
payment.
Are supposed to do your annual duties.
That's your financial year, when your financial year is ending.
Is ending, yes. But then also the good thing, at least BPR had this tax amenity program, I think 2 years ago. So they were waiving all the penalties off, and then you just pay like certain amount.
Actually.
Yes. Even NAMRA had the same thing. I think just after COVID, because a lot of businesses suffered, and then they introduced these programs where they waiver all your penalties.
Yeah.
That's one of also the good things that comes.
Actually, now that we're getting into discussion about it, the problem actually comes in because a lot of businesses, either they forget or they don't have anyone actually doing their financial auditing.
Their financial auditing.
Yes.
That's also one of the very biggest things. If you have a registered business, you tend to forget about the bookkeeping part, and then you just focus on the production phase of your business. And then later you end up seeing you have a pile of things that you haven't submitted yet at the local authority.
So in that regard, for your consultancy, is it, and most other consultancies out there, do they only focus on registering businesses to be registered with BPR, or do you also do then follow up for your clients, perhaps to see, are you keeping up with your annual duties, your financial year ends, this and this? Do you also have that option, or businesses are left to themselves?
You have that option. Yes, you have that option. Like, for instance, for my company, I do that for every employee that I've registered.
Okay.
Because that's also a way of retaining your employees.
Exactly.
And just having a good name for your company.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's very, very important that you always do a follow-up, because they tend to forget.
That's true.
Yeah, they tend to forget. So I took upon the initiative to always follow up and just remind my clients that, no, please remember that this month you need to submit your annual duties, your financial end years this month. And this creates a good relationship between you and your client, and your business grows at the end of the day.
That's true. And in another...
Yeah, but also BPR do send out messages.
They do?
Yes, they do. They started doing that from last year.
Okay, yeah. Okay then.
Yeah.
So then another negative aspect is that for when your financial year ends in April, and for instance you are expected to pay a fee of $150, the moment it strikes the first, I say it ends on the 30th, let's say it ends on the 30th of April, the moment it strikes June, right? The 1st of June. then a penalty of double the amount, that is 150, then goes to your account, which is quite a lot. Now, where you are supposed to pay only 150, you end up paying 300 Namibian dollars.
Double, yeah. Okay. That's now the negative aspect.
Exactly. Yeah.
But also, it just puts you so that you can become very responsible in terms of your business.
Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Sharon, perhaps your last words as we close off this conversation.
Any last words that I have, I would just encourage the public to really try and get your business registered. If you have any business idea, don't be ashamed, like, no, maybe this won't make money, because you'll never know what programs come up there that needs funding. So if you have a business idea, go register it.
Mm-hmm. And in implementations you wish BIPA to implement on and improve on?
BIPA can just improve on alerting the public about the forms to fill, how to fill in the forms. If they can really do that, they'll help the public a lot.
That's true. I concur with you on that one. Sharon, hi, Korea. Thank you so much for making time for us right here on the Reading News Analysis.
All right. Thank you.
Okay. Looking forward to more engagements.
Bye.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Mm-hmm. And then we had it from Sharon, hi, Korea, also Managing Director of Hi Korea Consultancies. Also just sharing her ideas with us, or her sentiments with us, in regards to what BIPA has announced, that is the Business and Intellectual Property Authority of Namibia. Now, obviously, a lot of Namibians are trying to register or are registering their businesses, and I'm sure the figure could be more if the documentation was more business-friendly or was more user-friendly. And I would want really to stick to that opinion of mine, because having dealt with BIPA myself when I was registering, or not registering, but filing for annual duties for a particular company that I had to do for, it was quite not easy, and I had to do some phone calls. But afterwards, when you actually understand the process, then it becomes easier. Another highlight that I've noticed, that companies might not have paid attention to, is that the very same document that you submit for your annual duties, let me say when you're filling in your documents, I can't recall now the names of those particular documents, all you have to do sometimes is change for the next year, change the date, everything else stays the same. That is, if your company has not changed, shareholders have not changed, names of shareholders have not changed, all you have to do then is just change the date and the year, and everything else, most of everything else remains the same. You print that out and then you go and settle your annual duties. So that's a trick that I think a lot of people don't know. Then you don't have to start all over with the process. But I would definitely say, concur with Sharon, to say BIPA needs to make the documents that are needed by businesses to feel in more user friendly. Why? Because a lot of people don't really understand this. And another thing is that they need to be more active online. They really need to be more active. Even on Facebook, they need to be more active. Those working at BIPA really need to make it much easier for people to be able to access and to be able to understand. That is, I think, what I would tell them if they are listening. Nonetheless, let's pause right here, take a trip to the marketplace. We will be back shortly. This is On the Radar News Analysis. Stay tuned.
Why pay more when you can pay less at USAFE stores? Enjoy nutritious and delicious meals for the whole family. 4 kilograms of real good frozen and mixed chicken portions for only 199.99 Namibian dollars. 5 kilos of Polana pasta, just 129.99 Namibian dollars. 500 grams Romy 37% fat spread, just 13.99 Namibian dollars. 700 milliliters Crystal Gold tomato sauce, just 24.99 Namibian dollars. USAFE, where good food costs less.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Ipura nenge leo wapumbwa Eva tere uliko ni maondu tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tite opoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuala. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okupitira oipindi konu konda doili nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshefa omarudi tayo loka. Opone ushendi tenawa nukumona oijamu ili nawa. Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatu imwe mbali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile konderewa, mura hetatu natu, bali o hetatu watatu, o mafilane, Eagle FM, the eye. Lipura nenge no wapumbwa Eva tere uliko ni maondu tuto ingida, ashike kapeno nweku tite opoye ekukulile. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo, iho etike kovano ile koshuala. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okupitira oipindi konu konda doili nawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi tayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamu ili nawa. Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatu imwe mbali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile konderewa mura hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
Welcome back. Of course, you are listening to On The Reader News Analysis right here on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM. Now, of course, today is Friday and our The Villager e-paper is available. The Villager e-paper is an economic, social economic newspaper that brings you news every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Now, today's headlines are as follow, pardon me. Private sector commits more than $12 million to fight FMD, that is foot and mouth disease. $19 billion to be borrowed from private market in order to fund the budget. $16.61 million commitment to boost African food security. Diversification is a key aspect for Namibia's development. Climate risks endanger global economy, that is according to WEF, that is the World Economic Forum. Spain dominates Namibia's pork supply. Environmental Commissioner to deliver report on Maeke Institute leach. Global platform Shutterstock showcases new generative AI features. That and more only in today's The Villager e-paper, available via WhatsApp. All you have to do is send a text message to 081-200-4144. That is text to 081-200-4144. And never miss an update every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Get your copy and read up on social and economic news aspects. Now moving on to other stories. Today marks World NGO Day, observed annually on the 27th of February to recognize, celebrate and honor the contributions of non-governmental organizations, also known as NGOs, around the world. Now, the World NGO Day was officially recognized in 2014 by the United Nations and the European Union, following its proposal by Latvian social entrepreneur Marcius Liuras Skadmanis. Now, the day is dedicated to acknowledging the vital role NGOs play in advancing humanitarian causes, promoting human rights, supporting sustainable development, and strengthening civil society. NGOs operate independently of government control and are typically non-profit entities driven by social, environmental, cultural or advocacy missions. They range from small community-based organizations to large international bodies working across borders. Now, globally, NGOs play a critical role in supporting the implementation of the Sustainable Development Goals, also known as SDGs, particularly in areas such as poverty reduction, education, healthcare access, gender equality, climate action, and good governance. Many NGOs work closely with governments, multilateral institutions, and the private sector to deliver services and advocate for policy reform. In Namibia, NGOs are active in sectors including youth empowerment, rural development, environmental conservation, public health, gender-based violence prevention, and entrepreneurship development. They often serve as implementing partners for donor-funded programs and provide services in underserved communities, complementing government efforts. Now, World NGO Day serves several key purposes, that is to inspire individuals to become more actively involved in the nonprofit sector, to encourage collaboration between NGOs and public and private institutions, to recognize the work of volunteers and professionals within civil society organizations, to promote transparency, accountability, and innovation within the sector. Now, commemorations typically include panel discussions, community outreach activities, policy dialogues, capacity building workshops, and social media campaigns that are highlighting impactful projects. Now, as the global development landscape evolves amid economic pressures, climate change, and governance challenges, NGOs continue to serve as critical agents of change, advocating for vulnerable populations and contributing to social and economic transformation. World NGO Day underscores the importance of a vibrant civil society in promoting inclusive development and democratic participation. Still an NGO, now in 2025, the international aid landscape was fundamentally altered by a dramatic shift in the United States' foreign assistance policy under President Donald Trump. Now, within days of taking office, Trump signed Executive Order 14169, which instituted a broad pause on U.S. foreign development aid to review and realign its priorities. Now, this essentially froze assistance from the United States Agency for International Development, that is USAID, historically the single largest donor to global humanitarian and development programs, with far-reaching consequences for NGOs worldwide. Now, USAID's budget previously supported thousands of NGOs and community services across more than 150 countries, funding critical programs in health, in food security, in education, in governance, and poverty reduction. But the aid froze led to the termination of over 90% of USAID contracts, the closure of hundreds of projects, and the elimination of tens of billions of dollars in foreign assistance. Now, funding gaps, program closures, and job losses. The suspension of the USAID forced NGOs, large and small, to cut programs, lay off staff, or shut down entirely. Major humanitarian agencies such as the International Rescue Committee reportedly laid off thousands of personnel and let go others due to funding shortages. Now, in many parts of Africa, Asia and the Middle East, NGOs that depended on US aid backing were forced to discontinue essential services, including HIV and AIDS treatment, vaccination campaigns, maternal and child health initiatives, as well as food security programs. Now, research estimated that over 615 global health projects funded by USAID were closed, risking millions of lives due to treatment interruptions for diseases such as malaria, tuberculosis, and HIV and AIDS. The aid cuts drove severe disruptions in regions already facing high humanitarian need. In South Sudan, NGOs like Action Against Hunger reported losing as much as 30% of their budgets, scaling back food and nutrition services, and warning that children are already dying as a result. Even right here in Namibia, health services and specialized clinics funded by the U.S. foreign assistance, including those serving vulnerable populations, face closures or reduced operations. Now, the shock reverted beyond NGOs to multilateral agencies and local organizations. The UN agencies and community groups struggled to fill funding gaps, affecting refugee protection, emergency responses, and long-term development programs. And the sudden drop in assistance forced many local civil society groups, especially women-led organizations, because I'm certain those are more, to scale back services dramatically. What lessons, perhaps, did they learn from this? Lessons, key lessons that NGOs must learn, even as we celebrate NGO Day today. Diversify funding resource. Now, the cuts underscore that dependency on a single major donor is a major risk. Hence the saying, don't lay all your eggs in one basket. NGOs must develop diversified financing strategies, including local fundraising and philanthropy, partnerships with the private sector, grants from non-US donor governments and multilateral institutions, income-generating initiatives that reduce reliance on external grants. Now, the crisis highlighted the need to build stronger local partnerships and empower community-based NGOs. And it also calls or shows that governments of any country need to play their part in supporting NGOs instead of NGOs relying entirely on outside donors. Should they decide at any moment that they are closing that gap, then NGOs risk closing down or losing staff. Local organizations are often better positioned to sustain programs when international funds are disrupted. Now, building regional alliances helps mitigate the risk of sudden geopolitical shifts, and of which are very uncertain. Therefore, they need to increase strategic flexibility and emergency planning. If effective NGOs must plan for external shocks by maintaining reserve funds and flexible budget structures, embedding contingency plans into organizational strategy, investing in organizational resilience and risk assessment frameworks. Now, the period also taught NGOs the importance of advocacy, of engaging with donors to promote stable, transparent and multi-year end commitment rather than short-term politically driven aid decisions. So looking ahead, the sudden change of 2025, we're definitely a wake-up call for international development sector. While the immediate effects were painful, job losses, program closures, and unmet human needs, they also expose opportunities for transformation. As NGOs recalibrate their strategies, many are exploring innovative financing mechanisms, strengthening community engagement, and broadening strategic partnerships that transcend traditional donor reliance. Now, the lessons learned last year provide a roadmap for more robust, adaptive, and sustainable civil society that can better withstand geopolitical shifts and continue to serve the world's most vulnerable populations effectively. Now, with that being said, let's pause right here and take a trip to the marketplace We'll be back shortly to announce today's lucky winner. About what? Please stay tuned to find out. Let's pause right here. I'll see you after the commercial break.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
The Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshefa ya pumbo kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Okone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ileko berewa, hora hetatu natu, bali o hetatu watatu, o mafilane, Eagle FM, the eye. Lipurane ngeno wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondu tuto ingida, ashike kapeno nweku tite opoewe ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo, iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge kwata fano na Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ileko berewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
Welcome back. And now, of course, I hope you've entered to win the 500 ShopRite YouSave gift voucher, which we'll announce every Friday. And all you have to do is tune in, play your part, and tune in to On The Radar. Now, the question we asked was, name the five items you can buy for $589 million at YouSave until the 8th of March 2026. And luckily, we have a winner. Let's call her or him up and notify them of the good news. I sure hope that they are by their line, because if they are not, then we move on to the next person. Now, remember, when you do partake in the competition, please do stay on the line so that we can you can find out if you are today's lucky winner. And it's ringing. Let's hope they do pick up. A very good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, how are you?
I'm well. I can't hear you so well. How are you, ma'am?
I think my phone that is
okay, but I can. I think we can manage with what we have now. Who am I speaking to?
Esther, Tatiana.
Okay, Tessa Ashiana, this is Happy Juju calling you from Eagle FM. You are live on radio now.
Okay.
I am calling to tell you that you are this Friday's lucky winner of the 500 Namibian dollar ShopRite You Save gift voucher.
Wow, thank you so much.
Are you surprised like that?
It's real because I just submitted my answer, I don't know, maybe 2 hours ago.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Wow. Thank you so much.
You are welcome. What do you want to tell? What do you want to tell those who are skeptical about partaking in the competition?
A competition is about winning and losing. So if they didn't win this Friday, next Friday is the time.
Exactly. Okay, Tessa. My colleagues will get hold of you to tell you when and how you can pick up your gift voucher. Okay, all the best and happy shopping.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Now remember, you can be our next lucky winner, or we can announce you. We will be announcing you. All you have to do, continue to participate in the competition. Remember, this competition runs for a very long time right here on Eagle FM and on the Reader News Analysis every Friday. So make sure that you participate and take part. You never know, you could be next Friday's lucky winner. Now, with that being said, let's pause right here and take a trip to the marketplace. We'll be back with economic indicators. Thereafter, we'll get into news beyond the borders of Namibia. Stay tuned and don't go anywhere. And also, there was a caller calling. Unfortunately, we were busy trying to call up our lucky winner. Please do come through. The studio line is open. 083-288-401. That is 083-288-401. You're more than welcome to come in, air your contributions and ask questions or air your opinions right here on the Reader. See you after the commercial break.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the I.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So, not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
Ipurane ngelo wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete opoye ekukurile oshafafa na nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doili nawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa Ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ileko derewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu o mafelane Eagle FM the eye.
Welcome back. And now for economic indicators before we head over to news beyond the borders of Namibia. We're starting off with the US dollar in comparison to the Namibian dollar. Now, one US dollar today is equal to 15 Namibian dollars, 0.90 cents, and 1 euro is equal to 18.75 Namibian dollars. One United Arab Emirates dirham is equal to 4 Namibian dollars and 33 cents. One Australian dollar is equal to 11 Namibian dollars and 30 cents, while £1 sterling is equal to 21 Namibian dollars and 42 cents. Moving over to our neighboring country, Botswana, one pula is equal to 1 Namibian dollar and 21 cents. And now for news beyond the borders of Namibia. We always start off regionally, move over to continental news, and thereafter you can expect some international news. Of course, South Africa's SAPS is hosting National Golf Day.
Acting Police Minister Feroz Kachalia, his two deputies, and National Commissioner General Fani Masemola will today host the SAPS National Golf Day. The purpose is to raise funds towards the South African Police Service Education Trust, which helps fund the educational needs of fallen SAPS children. Let's get you the latest on that story with SABC News reporter Calvin Dludla, live to us now from Kenton Park. And Calvin, outside of, I suppose, the levity that comes with a golf day, this is for something very sobering for the children of those police who sadly died in the line of duty.
Good morning to you, Ayanda, and to our SABC viewers at home. Yes, indeed, you were told by the members of the South African Police Service, the top brass of SAPS, that last year they did manage to raise at least 15 million rands, and this year they are aiming for at least 15 million rands. We are told that they are trying by all means, Ayanda, to assist the family members of their fallen heroes. Remember that it would be difficult for those children to go to school after their fathers or mothers died in the line of duty. But let me introduce one of the sponsors now, someone who will be able to fork out money, the major platinum sponsor. That would be Kogetsontwane from Metropolitan. Thank you very much for your time. This is not just about golf, playing golf. This means that children of the members of the South African Police Service, especially fallen heroes, would be able to get assistance so that they can continue with their education from primary level to universities. We are told, Antoine, that they will get assistance from the lower level up until tertiary, and the subs will be able to buy books and accommodation as well. It's a lot of money. Mm.
Thank you so much, Kelvin. I think for us as Metropolitan, we really understand the responsibility that we have as a corporate citizen to partner with institutions like South African Police Services, because we understand that the strength of our institutions depends on the support that they get, you know, from corporates like ourselves, you know, to support them. And for us as Metropolitan, we count it a privilege to be part of this SAPS Subset Golf Day. And we believe that no child of our heroes should be left behind in terms of their life and their livelihood. So we are making sure that as Metropolitan that we are really taking part in this Subset Golf Day to make sure that, you know, we support the South African Police Services and also ensure that their children of the fallen heroes do not live unsupported.
They are saying that they are aiming for 15 million this year. Yeah. Is that a pipe dream for them?
No, it is possible. I think with corporates holding hands and making sure that we support this worthy cause, I'm sure South African Police Services will be able to reach that milestone.
Care that goes where you go. That's international travel insurance through NHP. We facilitate cover of up to 10 million Namibian dollars per member for medical emergencies abroad as part of your membership. No extra charge. To receive your policy within minutes, simply register at nhp.com.na before you travel. T's and C's apply. NHP, rooted in care for you.
Your health, your life, your peace of mind. NHP, we're about you.
Our resume as the SAP says it aims to raise 15 million rand through its 7th National Golf Day in order to support its education trust.
I live unsupported.
How are you tracking this money, though? Because it's a lot of money. One would ask about your stringent procedures to make sure that every cent is counted.
Yeah, I think South African Police Services and SAPSET have got good, you know, governance protocols in place, and we actually trust them fully to say that whatever commitment and whatever pledges that have been made from this engagement will go towards, you know, the right cause, and we'll make sure that we'll support the children accordingly.
I know it's not the first time you are assisting them, you are sponsoring, especially as a platinum sponsor, a major sponsor. Now, have you engaged with some of the family members that are beneficiaries?
Definitely. From year to year, we engage with South African Police Services as they engage with the recipients of the subset. And it has been, you know, heartwarming to see how this funds from subset have really touched and impacted on the lives of the young ones.
The minister, the acting.
In other news, still in South Africa, the foot and mouth disease outbreak in South Africa has hit Green Hills.
Natal's Green Hills face a grim reality as the latest foot and mouth disease outbreak hits local farms. While national export bans grab the headlines, farmers feel the impact most. The Bergville dairy producers face major losses, threatening generations of breeding and daily operations. Bradley Gase, the owner of Gase Farming, joins us with a first-hand perspective. Bradley, appreciate the time. Thank you so much for being able to join us. And a first-hand account is so important and significant to, I think, highlight the treachery and the harm that all of this is actually causing. Won't you just highlight exactly how this is impacting you, foot and mouth, that is? I know at last call it was 150 cattle that you needed to cull. Is that the case?
Yeah, that was the case in November, December. The cattle have now recovered, and we're trying to get back onto track. We about 2 liters down on where we should normally be, but November, December was a nightmare, and we incurred big losses in those 2 months.
Does that mean that now you've sort of been able to, because of the culling, that you no longer have foot and mouth in your farm and your stables anymore? Or is it just a case of you're trying to mitigate it where you can and you have to do testing fairly often?
No, the foot and mouth has now run its course. It's gone through us. The cattle have recovered. The ones that didn't recover, we got rid of. We culled. But they almost 100% back to where they should be.
Yeah.
But the big worry is now we still haven't got the vaccine, and is the chance of getting reinfected, because it's all around us still. So we're just waiting for vaccines to stop the reinfection.
Yeah, and that was going to be my next question on that long-term genetic impact that it might actually have on the quality of your herd, one. But two, without that vaccine, it puts you at even greater risk of having the same impact, the same set of losses again in future.
Yes, a couple of farms in our area have been reinfected for the second time, and we're all just waiting for the second wave to come through, but we just hope that this vaccine can get to us before the second wave hits us.
Yeah, do you know how much those losses were since November? Are you able to share with us?
You know, as you mentioned earlier, we lost in total, with deaths and culling, about 150 animals. So in the future, we're going to be a bit short on where we should be, but South African farmers are quite resilient, so hopefully we'll bounce back quite quickly.
Yeah, and the financial losses there as well. I can imagine veterinary and feed costs also skyrocketing for you.
Yeah, the financial losses have been huge. Depends on how bad some of the farmers have got, but they're all running between 4,000 to 6,000 rand an animal loss, and they've mounted up to some big amounts.
Are you getting any government assistance financially, that is, as well, for all of this?
No, we've had zero government assistance, zero help at all. There's no interaction at the moment with the farmers, but we do have the MPO has been doing a lot of work for us to try and get the vaccine, but hopefully they can get it right in the near future.
I mean, government is...
Now, apart from that, signs of economic recovery emerge in South Africa.
The lights are staying on. Ports and rail are slowly clearing. Despite trade uncertainty with the United States dominating much of 2025, Africa's most industrialized economy is showing early signs of a turnaround after years of anemic growth. And because of this shift, many hope as South Africa's finance minister prepares to table the country's upcoming budget, this positive ratings trajectory, along with improving growth prospects and a steady interest rate environment, will give businesses and consumers greater certainty.
We are seeing some of those green shoots in the local economy, largely driven by cyclical factors, but also structural reforms and structural factors that are coming to show and bear some fruits in the medium term.
Strengthening the outlook is a firmer currency and easing inflation.
Lower inflation, interest rates that are starting to fall, are part of the story around why the household sector has been relatively robust, right? So you would have seen the retail sales, rather, performing really well. Even at the end of the year, we still get, an indication that retail sales probably contributed positively to GDP.
But economists caution against being overly optimistic. They point to growth, which is expected to remain modest in the medium term.
The tailwinds from structural reforms that will drive growth closer to 2% if we continue on the reform momentum and build business confidence as a result, and could even see real GDP growth rise to about 3% in the next 5 or so years.
Even that will fall short of tackling a 31% unemployment rate or lifting millions out of poverty.
It's only after we get, fixed investment going, especially with the structural reforms, real GDP growing, that we will see some of these socioeconomic issues also starting to turn the corner. So we're still a bit far away from where we want to be, but I think we're moving in the right direction.
While an S&P ratings update after nearly two decades and removal from the Financial Action Task Force grey list targeting illicit financial and terrorist activities has bolstered confidence, economists say sustained growth will still depend on fiscal discipline, political stability, and deeper public infrastructure investment. Najma Abdulrazak, CGTN.
Meanwhile, on financial insights, Zambia's energy sector is about to transform. Let's understand what's going on and where it's heading.
Sitting down with our good friend, Mr. Andrew Kamanga, who's going to tell me a little bit about the key developments in the energy sector, as well as his participation in next week's Africa Energy Indaba. So stay tuned and get to know.
From the Zambian perspective, the industry has continued to evolve. I think just 2 years ago, we saw the open access being talked about. And last year, mm-hmm. it was very practical. Mm-hmm. So transactions started. I think the power traders came into the market to mm-hmm. obviously cover the gap that was created out of a limited supply, and that I think went a long way in ensuring that the country continued to have power, because as you would expect, ZESCO seemingly had the challenge to import the power purely on account of financial capacity, but the traders were able to step in with their liquidity and rearrange their financing, as well as get PPAs with the suppliers of power. And they were able to take the power to the market. Mm-hmm. What was also key for me is that we saw the prices of power, the tariffs, going to what one would call the cost reflective, because for a long time, tariff has been the sticking point for investment. Mm-hmm. So we suddenly had in the market, because the end users were willing to pay for available power. Mm. So we saw prices coming in from somewhere around 12 cents per kilowatt hour, mm-hmm. even as high as 18 cents, because the market was opening up. And we hope that this spike in the tariff will settle somewhere where investment can also follow. Mm-hmm. So the open access to a certain extent has been welcome, mm-hmm. and we hope that we'll see more reforms over and above open access where traders have come in, so that we continue to have more investment in the sector.
Right. Now, Mr. Kumanga, you know, come next week, you will be at, you know, Africa Energy Indaba in Cape Town, South Africa. You know, I will remind our viewers that a while back you did mention that NWEC was seeking, participating in the capital markets. Are you able to just share with us, you know, what this, you know, how the journey is like on that front? But then, what sort of key messaging will you be taking to the Indaba next week?
Yes, we are participating at the Indaba, and for the first time, we are also sponsoring a breakaway session, mm-hmm. purely to discuss the grid interconnectivity within the Southern African power pool, as well as the rest of Africa. So we have panelists coming from all parts of Africa, and I think it will be a very exciting conversation, because at the end of the day, we want to see how power can be moving from one part of Africa to the other. So we've got the Southern African power pool, the Eastern African power pool, the West African power pool, and then we see how we can get interconnection going. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's easy to move the power around, but for you to be able to do that, the power has to be available. So we cannot talk about transmission to the exclusion of what is going on in the generation. So I think it will be a very exciting panel, and most importantly for us, we want to see how Zambia fits into the regional perspective when it comes to power trading. Mm-hmm. So we are very, very excited to be a sponsor for that panel. But outside that, we are also happy that participating in such an event mm-hmm. gives us the visibility. We continue to create our brand, and obviously the connections we secure an investment in the life of the institution.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. So this more or less fits into the broader strategy with your intent to list on the capital markets.
Yes, coming back to that, I think the reason why we are talking about going ahead with listing is very simple. Mm-hmm. We initially set out as a distribution company. Mm-hmm. We operate in three mine townships in Solwezi, Lumwana, and Kalumbila. Mm-hmm. And as part of our diversification and long-term growth strategy, mm-hmm. we want to go beyond our current locations. We are looking at new projects. There's one coming up in Lusaka where there's potentially a 5,000 housing estate development. Mm-hmm. We want to be there to supply the power. There's also another project coming up in Eastern Province for a housing estate. We think that having established ourselves in the Northwest, we can then look at other opportunities within the country. And for us to be able to take on those opportunities, it will require additional capital. But outside the distribution, we are also looking to get our membership with Southern African Power Pool, mm-hmm. simply because we are also looking at setting up a trading division on the mm-hmm. power side. Mm-hmm. And then most importantly, last week we were in Italy. We had a conversation with one of the solar plant providers. Mm-hmm. We are negotiating an EPC contract with them to see if they can come and put up a solar plant for us. And of course, that will require a substantial amount of investment. Mm-hmm. Now, taking all these activities together, Mm-hmm. We are at a point as a company where we believe that bringing in new investors, new capital, mm-hmm. is basically going to strengthen the company. And we believe that listing gives an opportunity to the rest of Zambians to participate in being a shareholder in Northwestern. So we are now moving away from a private company to partially become a public listed company.
In other news, political tensions are rising between Somalia and Somaliland.
The federal government of Somalia has strongly rejected comments made by a Somalian official that invited investors from Israel and the United States to explore rare earth minerals and possibility of establishing military bases in the region. Somaliland's Minister of Presidency, Qadar Hussein Abdi, told AFP that the breakaway administration believes it could reach an agreement with the U.S. But speaking at a press briefing in Mogadishu, Deputy Minister for Information, Abdul Rahman Yusuf, said only federal authorities have the legal mandate to manage the country's natural resources and international agreements.
The federal government of Somalia is the only legitimate entity mandated by the Somali people to represent the country. Natural resources, including minerals, are managed through established institutions and policies. Any statements made outside these constitutional frameworks are baseless and unacceptable. We categorically reject such claims. The federal government welcomes interested investors, but only through the appropriate and lawful institutions.
Since receiving recognition from Israel last December, the Somaliland administration has been seeking broader international recognition, particularly from major powers such as the United States. However, China, along with regional and international organizations, including the African Union, the Arab League, and the Organization of Islamic Cooperation, have rejected the move and reaffirmed Somalia's territorial integrity. During a visit to Ethiopia last week, Turkish President Recep Tayyip Erdogan said Israel's recognition of Somaliland will not contribute to stability in the region. Ahmed Kahir, CGTN, Mogadishu, Somalia.
African poverty reduction efforts draw lessons from China.
This year marks the 70th anniversary of the establishment of diplomatic relations between China and African nations, a friendship that has achieved leapfrog development for the continent. Policies under the Forum on China-Africa Cooperation Framework and the Belt and Road Initiative have encouraged more Chinese enterprises to invest in African projects, leading to landmark buildings, factories, and flourishing infrastructure. Some of the flagship projects include the Kenya Standard Gauge Railway, connecting the capital Nairobi with the port city of Mombasa. The SGR has cut journey times for commuters from 10 hours to 5. Since opening in 2017, the railway has transported some 16 million passengers and 40 million tons of cargo, according to official data. The Chinese-built Maputo-Katembe Bridge in Mozambique is Africa's longest suspension bridge, connecting the capital Maputo with its suburb of Katembe. Before, the only way across the Maputo Bay, a 90-kilometer inlet of the Indian Ocean, was by ferry. After its completion in 2018, officials say the province has witnessed a tourism boom due to easier access to major resorts. In January this year, Angolan President João Lourenço inaugurated an aluminium plant to boost industrialization.
On the Radio News Analysis, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Ndafa, Juju.
Good afternoon, sir.
How are you doing?
I'm doing well today. How are you, sir?
We thank God.
Okay.
Yeah, yes. Maybe can I just remark on something?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Yes. Let me summarize. Yeah.
Okay.
So, you see now,
mm-hmm.
you see, I thought from the beginning,
yeah,
that President Trump
mm-hmm.
is there for global peace,
mm-hmm.
And the whole world actually expected that one because he declared himself as the president of peace.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and even in trade, so economic agreement or whatever,
yeah,
they shouldn't be in by force. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
By force and sort of manipulation and things like that. It's actually dialogue.
Yeah.
And people are talking about working together for global peace. What affects anybody in the world in terms of their social, economic, or political living?
Yeah.
Affects each and every.
True.
So why do you think people are against the those agreement between, not necessarily that they are against.
Mm-hmm.
Just, you think people just hate Israel or United States? No. They are our brothers there.
Yeah.
They are sisters there. Mm-hmm. So, and the justice there is justice here. So it's not that it is because of the bullying. Those kind of things. That's why people are resisting. And that will also cause some kind of social and political tension within the country.
True. But let me try and understand you. Are you talking about bullying in the U.S.? Or?
No, I'm saying
mm-hmm.
there are countries, the way people are viewing, and this is, has been in our observation.
Okay.
The U.S. and the Israel, the kind of approach to global stability, to the peace in the world,
mm-hmm.
that's where people are questioning. I said, if you declare yourself a president of peace,
mm-hmm.
then you want to be bullying all other countries around, coercing them and causing them to have social and political strife.
I see.
So, I mean, even God himself. So, these are the things. Everybody else is speaking about peace, multilateralism,
yeah,
coexistence. It doesn't matter whether you are from wherever. And very soon we are going to see also this tension coming into U.S. itself.
Most probably.
Who's going to, excuse me, huh?
Yeah, most probably or most probably not. But I think with everything that that's happening, it's a reminder, for African countries to stick together and to work together and not necessarily depend on one particular, country.
Well, we are not, that's why we are saying when we talk about multilateralism, we are not talking about, a single culture of America or Israel or whatever.
Mm.
This is what we are talking about. So for you now, that's why Namibia is a friend to everyone.
An enemy to none.
An enemy to none.
Yeah. But Ankabwana,
so
let's get
on the principles.
Let's get back to international news now.
So I think that is what I that was my observation and my
and contribution
in terms of international news.
Okay.
What I'm saying is that what is happening there now,
mm-hmm.
and very soon you see now people fighting, and this one are saying no. What gives you the power to agree on the agreement with Israel and the America? America is our brother. Israel, they are brothers.
Yeah.
The only problem that people are having with them is because the way they want to manage their relationship with other countries.
Okay.
And they want to be bullying others. It's not a good thing.
I hear you, Uncle Bana. I really do.
Thank you very much, Manny, for the opportunity that you have granted unto me.
Okay. Thank you. You're welcome, Uncle Bana.
God bless.
Bye. Okay, resuming our news on African poverty reduction efforts. Now, 5 years after China declared an end to extreme poverty, several African countries are adopting similar development approaches. Governments across the continent are studying policies focused on infrastructure, rural support and economic inclusion in order to reduce poverty levels. Let's take a listen.
And diversify an economy that's reliant on oil and gas. The project, in partnership with a Chinese firm, is expected to produce 120 tons of electrolytic aluminium annually and create 1,200 jobs in just the first phase. China's cooperation with African countries isn't just limited to infrastructure projects. Over the decades, Chinese medical teams have been bringing free services to populations across the continent and providing extra training for local healthcare professionals. With advanced medical equipment, the Chinese teams provide services across various specialties, including internal medicine, surgery, and traditional Chinese medicine. Cameroon, Ghana, Comoros, Rwanda, and Tanzania are some of the countries with a health cooperation with China. China is also constructing modern stadiums to boost local talent and provide state-of-the-art facilities for international competition. In Kenya, the Talanta Sports Stadium is nearing completion. It will have a 60,000-seat capacity and will be used to host the 2027 Africa Cup of Nations. Other Chinese-built stadiums that have been a source of pride and entertainment include the Marshal Idriss Déby Itno Stadium in Chad and the Alassane Ouattara Olympic Stadium in Côte d'Ivoire.
In other news, a China-Africa trade policy is set to boost jobs in South Africa.
As South Africa scrambles to diversify markets and accelerate export growth, China is emerging as a sure bet. A landmark framework agreement on economic partnership for shared development signed between the two countries gives South African exports duty-free access to the vast Chinese market.
It is also an answer to unilateralism and protectionism. That shows South Africa and China hand in hand to open wider both their market to each other so that they can enhance our bilateral relations.
South Africa accounts for the largest share of nearly $300 billion in trade between China and the African continent. That figure is set to climb as the agreement opens greater access for key exports, including minerals, agricultural goods, and higher value processed products.
We've given them an initial list of 100 products, and those include manufactured products. But we've now said, now that we have this agreement, we can do a more comprehensive early harvest program that would enable manufactured goods to go into the Chinese market, and therefore you're able to add value to the quality of trade that we have with China.
Agricultural products, which have already gained a foothold in the Chinese market, are likely to feature prominently on the final list to be presented in March.
This agreement will open wider, of course, China's market to high-quality South African products like rooibos tea, wine, beef, sugars, and nuts. But also, it will benefit Chinese customers because they will buy these products with lower prices.
The deal goes beyond market access to China. Pretoria is positioning for a potential investment boost from its largest trade partner. South Africa is fast growing as an attractive market for Chinese automakers, gaining ground on traditional players.
There's a significant increase, in fact, of imports that we get from China, but there's also been appetite to invest in the country. More recently, Chery has made a deal with Nissan. We've also had commitment from BAIC, that was the initial company that invested in the country, to transition from semi-knockdown to complete knockdown, meaning actual manufacturing in the countries.
Beijing's zero-tariff move does not stop with South Africa. It extends to 53 African nations, broadening the scope of China's trade engagement across the continent.
It is also a time of great opportunity for our continent and indeed for our country as well. Global economic uncertainties, climate risks and shifting trade patterns underscore the need for building economic resilience and capability, diversifying both our export basket and our exporter base is in the end key to our economic growth strategy.
Africa and China have crossed the threshold into a new trade era. For many debt-burdened African nations still grappling with the threat of reciprocal tariffs from the United States, the agreement represents a huge win. Producers across the continent now have easier access to one of the world's largest consumer markets, with the potential to boost incomes, industrialization, and economic growth at home.
And with that, we have now come to the conclusion after this episode of On the Radar News Analysis. Do stay tuned for the Onkanana Dingi program, brought to you now by Lois Shimi and the Home Run Show with Dwight and Helmut from 16:30, the Business Economic segment with David Chombe at 1800 hours. And don't forget to tune in into the Life Lessons show on Saturday, that is tomorrow, from 1900 hours to 2100 hours. That is with me, Dafa Happy Juju, as we talk about life and social issues. Goodbye.